We want to welcome you to the New Song Podcast, coming to you from beautiful Colorado Springs. We love receiving your prayer requests and comments at newsongcs.com.
It is good to be in the house of the Lord this morning, and every day we're in the house of the Lord, it's a good day. Amen? Amen. This morning, Justin and I are going to be speaking to you all about what it means and what it looks like to have a spirit of thanksgiving. And if you open up your Bibles, I'm going to be coming from First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. And the King James Version will be up on the screen, but all of the translations are pretty similar, so you can use whatever translation that you like. I'm actually going to read from the NIV, but you can follow along on the screen. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. It's so short, I think I'll just read it one more time. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Gracious and loving Father, we are so, so grateful to be in your house this morning. We are so grateful to have the opportunity to boldly enter into your presence anytime that we would like to, Father God. Thank you so much for this day which you have given us to come and gather together and worship your name, Father God. Thank you for the opportunity to preach your word, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, that you would just allow me to speak your truth and for it to penetrate the hearts and minds of every single person in this sanctuary today. Father God, let your word go forth in this place. Bless this message today. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. How many of us have ever had a friend that just could not stop complaining? We all know the friend I'm referring to. For this person, everything is negative, and there's never anything good going on. And instead of looking for the silver lining, somehow this person seems to always just focus on the cloud. Has anyone in here ever met someone like that before? Now, moment of truth. How many of us have ever been that person? You don't have to raise your hand for this question, but how many of us have ever been told that we complain too much? I certainly have. I'm sad to admit that there have been quite a few times when I have been more complaintive than appreciative. And I'm sure I'm not the only person in the sanctuary that can say that today. Because whether we realize it or not, complaining is more common than we think. And we likely do it more times than we realize. I mean, all you have to do is scroll through your social media news feed or watch the news on TV to see and hear how discontent and unsatisfied we are as a society. The United States of America, it's one of the most prosperous nations in all of the world. Yet, could it be that we are also among the least grateful? Even though it may not apply to most of us sitting in this sanctuary, we cannot deny that there is a spirit of complaining that is running rampant in our society. Now, with that being said, we could sit around and speculate why it appears as though there's a spirit of complaining and it's at an all-time high. But truly, the reason why there's a spirit of complaining is inconsequential compared to the truth that can be found in God's word. And that truth that we will explore today is that there is an alternative to adopting a spirit of complaining. I believe that it is the will of God that believers should intentionally and repeatedly give thanks in all things. Now, I only have one point, so I'm going to repeat it so I make sure you don't miss it. I believe that it is the will of God that believers should intentionally and repeatedly give thanks in all things. And as we take the limits off of giving thanks to God, we begin to combat a spirit of complaining, and instead, we cultivate a spirit of thanksgiving. Now, though it is the way of the world to complain and gripe about every single little annoyance, frustration, or inconvenience, I would like to encourage us to embrace and to daily live out a spirit of thanksgiving. And I'm here today to share with you just how we can begin doing that. Now, some of you are already thinking that what I'm saying sounds good, but it doesn't seem like something that may be attainable or applicable to you, considering where you are in life right now. But don't check out on me just yet, because I do have some good news. I'm here to tell you today that not only is cultivating a spirit of thanksgiving attainable, but it is sustainable for years and years to come. The text that I will be speaking from today comes from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. And I would say that it is a very interesting text, considering the setting in which it was written and the audience it was written to. And we'll find out why in just a minute. If you'll turn with me to the 5th chapter of 1 Thessalonians, starting at verse 18, it reads, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Jesus Christ." Now, a fascinating fact about this text is that because of the word order in the original Greek writing, stress is actually placed on the condition under which the action is to be observed. So the more accurate reading of this text would be, in all circumstances, give thanks. Therefore, the emphasis isn't just that we as believers engage in thanksgiving. That's more like the bare minimum. It's not enough that we simply thank God here and there. No, the more important aspect of our text today is that we do this in all circumstances, repeatedly and intentionally. You see, Paul knew what he was doing when he was writing this letter to the Thessalonians, and he chose his words very carefully. Paul knew that the initial audience of our text today had found themselves in a precarious position and facing some pretty intense opposition. Paul knew that the situation that the Thessalonians were facing was forcing them to have to make a decision. They were going to have to make up their minds regarding how they were going to respond to their current predicament. And let me tell you, it was not going to be an easy decision to make. And the irony in all of this is that the opposition they were dealing with in our text was stemming from the initial decision they made to give their lives to Christ. Friends, have you ever found yourself in a situation where you felt led to make a decision that was going to transform your life for the better, but that would also rustle a few feathers? That's where the Thessalonians in our text find themselves today. When Paul wrote this letter to the church in Thessalonica, it was a brand new church with brand new believers. The people to whom Paul is addressing are a bunch of new converts who had just made the bold and radical decision to commit their lives to Christ. This should be a time of rejoicing and celebration. Yet instead, it turned out to create the worst adversity and opposition that these people may have ever experienced. Even though they took the leap of faith, even though they prayed the prayer of salvation, even though they followed their hearts and they joined the body of believers, that's when the struggle became real. That's when the sunshine and rainbows slowly began to disappear and the flames of hostility arose. And I'm just curious. I wonder, what would you do when you thought you made a major decision that would change your life for the better, but then you quickly begin to notice that your life only becomes more challenging and complicated? What would you do when you decided to wait until marriage to be intimate with your partner, only to realize that that's not what your partner had in mind, and now you're left single? What would you do when you decide to start fighting an addiction and you tell your friends, you ask them for support, only to find that they couldn't care less about supporting you on your new journey? What would you do when you make a decision to stop engaging in gossip at work, only to find that you're no longer invited to the daily lunch outing? What would you do when you're tempted to step out on your spouse and you share with them that you are struggling, and the next week you receive papers for divorce? What would you do in these situations? How we respond when we make a seemingly, how would we respond when we make a seemingly good decision, but that produces an unfavorable outcome? Would we complain and go back to what we were doing because the opposition is just a little bit too much? Or would we stand firm and respond with thanksgiving because we know that God is still in the midst? See, I think it's important for us to note that the scripture doesn't tell us to give thanks for all things, but rather we are instructed to give thanks in all things. That means even though your significant other may have decided to leave you, guess what? You can still give thanks. Even though your friends may not always support you, you can still give thanks. Even though your coworkers may reject you, you can still give thanks. And even though the world may not always understand you, guess what, church? You can still give thanks. Because the fact of the matter is, how we respond to the trials and the hardship in our lives is way more important and carries more weight than the actual obstacle itself. You see, it's in our response of intentionally and repeatedly giving God thanks that we begin to cultivate a spirit of thanksgiving. Now would be the perfect time to look at your neighbor and say, how you respond matters. Some of you caught it. Okay. You see, it's not about the adversity. It's not about the opposition. It's not about the hostility. It's not about your circumstances. It's about your response. The Thessalonians had just given their lives to Christ, only to find out that things have gotten more difficult. Thessalonica was a huge Greek-dominated city, and even though there was a Greek dominance, there was also a very strong Jewish presence. But what there wasn't was a whole lot of Christians. So if we use our sanctified imagination just for a minute, we can understand that the church in Thessalonica was under fire. These people were under siege. They were experiencing assault from both the Greek community and the Jewish community. In essence, they were outcast. In fact, in Acts chapter 5, we are given just a brief account, a little glimpse of some of the hostility and opposition that these new Christians in Thessalonica were facing. The local Jewish community was not very happy that Paul was coming into their town and stirring up trouble about a man named Jesus. They didn't even like it even more that Paul was actually having some success with converting people to Christianity. And thus, a literal riot breaks out in the city. The new believers had opposition on their left and on their right. People were being dragged out of their houses and placed before city officials for even just being associated with Paul. It was bad. But see, this is what I want us to understand, that this is the context, this is the setting that Paul is instructing believers to give thanks. It is in these set of tumultuous circumstances that we are encouraged to cultivate a spirit of thanksgiving and thereby live in such a way that is pleasing unto God. The Thessalonians were truly experiencing faith under fire. And I believe that that may be the case for some of us in here today. And because of the fire that's surrounding us, or even sometimes raging within us, it can be easier for us to complain rather than to give thanks. And even though we may not be persecuted in such extreme forms anymore, we all still regularly face opposition and adversity in our lives. In fact, last week, Pastors Thomas and Christian talked about how to give thanks in times of waiting, grief, and tragedy. And that ties in perfectly with what Justin and I are talking about today, because in order to cultivate a spirit of thanksgiving, we must learn how to intentionally and repeatedly give God thanks in all things and at all times. We will have to learn how to give God thanks in times of celebration and lamentation, in times of great sorrow and great joy. We will have to learn how to give God thanks when our heart is broken and when our heart is overjoyed. We'll have to learn how to give God thanks without any form of limitation. And yes, even in the face of extreme adversity and opposition. You see, it is the act of this repeated and intentional giving thanks to God, even when things aren't going our way, that we nurture our ability to give thanks to God in all things. We should really give God thanks with every obstacle, every setback, and every stumbling block, because in doing so, we strengthen the spirit of thanksgiving that's inside of us. Having a spirit of thanksgiving, it isn't just about knowing how and when to say thank you. It is about embodying gratitude and living from a place of thankfulness. The world, they seem to call it an attitude of gratitude. But an attitude is temperamental, and it's subject to change. A spirit, however, a spirit is eternal, and it's consistent. A spirit of thanksgiving is something that doesn't change with the seasons. It doesn't fluctuate depending on our attitude or our circumstances. It is abiding. And the more we acknowledge God in all things, the stronger this spirit of thanksgiving becomes. We must be intentional to repeatedly give God thanks in all things if we want to cultivate this spirit of thanksgiving. For giving thanks in all of our circumstances, that's the response that God expects from us as his children. Now, if you're still with me at this point, you might be wondering exactly why God would expect us to be able to have a spirit of thanksgiving. And today, we'll find the answer we're looking for in Psalm 100.
Psalms 104 says, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth through all generations." The psalmist tells us that when we enter into the gates and into the courts, we ought to enter in with thanksgiving in our hearts and a praise on our lips. What I find it interesting is that the psalmist, when he talks about this, he comes from the Old Testament focusing on the build of the temple, right? And they go into the temple to praise God. They go into the temple to experience the presence of God. And so it's almost as the psalmist is saying that when we are in the presence of God, we ought to be there with thanksgiving and praise. However, if we remember, if I'm not mistaken, when Jesus died on the cross, the veil was torn in the temple that separated the presence of God from the people. And so, and it was to show that we now all have access to the presence of God. Can I get an amen? Just in case you didn't know that, let me say it one more time. In Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, it said that when they all came on one accord, can I walk around, do you mind? When they all was on one accord, the Spirit of God came down and dwelt among us and within us. Matter of fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul tells us that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Why do I say all of this? I say all this to say that it is not about going into a physical building to give God thanksgiving. It's not about going into a physical building to give God praise. But because we are the temple, we ought to always praise God, and we ought to always be thankful. Can I get an amen right there? We ought to always be thankful. It's not about waiting until you get to the temple. It's not about waiting until you get to the church. We ought to have a praise on our lips and a thanksgiving in our heart all the time. And some of us might be in here wondering, why should I do that? But I love the psalmist. He didn't give it as a suggestion. He didn't say that maybe you should do this. But he said, be thankful unto him. He was saying, you have no choice. You have to be thankful unto him and bless his name. And just in case you're trying to figure out why you ought to be thankful, he hears up and says, for the Lord is good. Oh, my goodness. Some people don't know when to say amen. For the Lord is good. So here it is. Why we ought to be thankful? Because we serve a God that is good. Oh, my goodness. I'm telling you, just take a moment and reflect on your life right now about how many times God has been good to you, how many times God has opened doors for you, how many times God has made a way for you, how many times God has healed your body, how many times God has saved you from sin and saved you from danger and saved you from danger seen and unseen, how many times God has provided for you, how many times God has forgave you and forgave you and forgave you and forgave you. We serve a God that is a good God. And he is worthy to be praised. I'm trying to stay calm. But I get excited when I think of the goodness of God. Because when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah, I thank God for saving me. We serve a good God. He's good. Matter of fact, the church I grew up in, I used to hear people say all the time, he's been better to me than I've been to myself. For the Lord is good. And one thing I love about it is God's goodness is not predicated on our circumstances. Yes, we might be going through some stuff. Yes, we might be dealing with some trials and tribulations. Yes, it might be hard sometimes. But at the end of the day, God is still good. And he is worthy to be praised. Would you look at somebody and say, I serve a good God? Come on, say it like you mean it. Find somebody else and say, I serve a good God. He's a good, good father. And he is worthy to be praised and worthy of our thanksgiving. But if that was not enough, because I could go there and sit down, I'm good right there. But the psalmist continues on and said, it's not only is he a good God, but he's a merciful God. And he says, for his mercy is everlasting. See, I get excited there. And only maybe I have a sneaky feeling that, or maybe a handful of us would be just like me. I get excited there because I'm not one of the ones who have everything perfect. So maybe for some of you in here who got it all right and you dot your I's right and cross your T's properly and you've never made no mistakes and everything just seemed to be good and great and you love the Lord and hallelujah is always on your lips and you never made no mistakes, you never fallen, you never stumbled, then you may not get excited about this one right here. But I get excited because mercy is when I deserved something and God blocked it. Okay, let me come over here, Pastor. Mercy is when I deserved a punishment, but God stepped in and blocked it. See, I don't have everything all perfect and right. I depend on God's mercy. And I don't know about you, but I had mercy step in and block some things. If I could tell my testimony, I'd say I should have been dead and gone, sleeping in my grave, but God's mercy stepped in right on time. I should be in jail, but God's mercy stepped in right on time. I should not have any family or friends on my side, but God's mercy stepped in right on time. I should have lost my mind a long time ago, but God's mercy stepped in right on time. I don't know about you, but I thank God for God's mercy. And the Bible says, morning by morning, new mercies I see. That when I mess up, I mean, it's been me. And I said, God, I promise, this may not be your story, I never do it again if you can just get me out this one last time. That may not have ever been your prayer. But God, I promise I'll never, if just give me out one last time. And then God's mercy stepped in and gets me out. And tomorrow I found myself right back in the same thing, saying, God, I know I said it, but I really mean it this time. And God's mercy steps in once again. And I said, God, this not, maybe for you it only took two times. I promise, but God's mercy stepped in. And I thank God for God's mercy. I wouldn't be standing here today if it wasn't for God's mercy. None of us would be here today if it wasn't for God's mercy. Matter of fact, the reason why Jesus came to this earth is because of God's mercy. We didn't deserve it. We can't earn it. But God's mercy stepped in right on time. And for that, we ought to say thank you. Come on. We ought to tell the Lord thank you. Open up your mouth and thank the Lord for God's mercy. Thank the Lord for God's mercy. And if that was not enough, for the Lord is good and his mercy is everlasting. The psalmist ends with, and his truth endureth forever to all generations. If you look at the translation, I love it. In some commentaries, instead of truth, it says faithfulness. And so can I give you one more reason why you ought to be thanking God every time you wake up in the morning? It's because we serve a God that is faithful. Oh, my goodness. We serve a God that is faithful. That God, that 66 books are filled with the promises of God, and God is faithful to every last one of them. You thought the reason why you woke up this morning is because of you? No, it's because God is faithful. You thought the reason why you were able to come into church today because of you? No, it's because God is faithful. God is faithful. He said, I'll provide for you. I'll be a healer. I'll be a way maker. I'll make your way straight. Every step will be ordered by me, and he does it because he's faithful. And I love it because he's faithful even when we're not faithful to him. Oh my goodness. Even when we try to turn our back on God, God said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, and I'm going to be with you to the end. And David said, if I make my bed in hell, God will be right there with me. And because we serve a God that is faithful. He is faithful to his word. He is faithful to his promises. He is faithful. Whatever he said, it will happen. For God, if God said it, he'll do it. If he spoke it, he'll bring it to pass. Because we serve a God that cannot lie. And God is faithful. Even when we don't know how to act, even when we don't have all our stuff together, God is still faithful. And for that, we got to say thank you. We got to give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. We got to give thanks to God for his faithfulness. We got to give thanks to God for his mercy. We got to give thanks to God because he is a good God. And he is worthy to be praised. The psalmist said, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. I say that when you wake up in the morning, because you are the temple, you ought to be waking up saying thank you. You ought to be waking up saying, I give you praise. Be thankful unto him. I know you might be going through some stuff, but be thankful unto him. I know you might be struggling, but be thankful unto him. I know you might be going through some trials and tribulations, but be thankful. Why? Because the Lord is good. Even in dark times, he is good. Even in times of struggle, he is good. Reflect on your life. When you find it difficult, just reflect on how good he is and how merciful he is and how faithful he is. And you will have a spirit of thanksgiving at all times, because you know that you wouldn't be here if it was not first for God being good, being merciful, and being faithful. So would you do me a favor? Can we get some music? Would you do me a favor? Would you open up your mouth and just start thanking God? So don't worry about the person next to you. I know you might have your boo, your bae, your wife, your husband, your kids all right beside you. It don't matter right now. All that matters right now is you and God. And you. And I think we need to take a moment to open up our mouth and say thank you. Thank you, God, for your mercy. Come on, open up your mouth, saints. Stand up on your feet. Lift up your hands. Open up your mouth. Thank you, God, for your mercy. Thank you, God, for your faithfulness. Thank you, God, for your goodness. Thank you, God, for loving me. Thank you, God, for caring for me. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Come on, open up your mouth and give thanks unto him. For the Lord is good. For the Lord is good. For the Lord is good. And his mercy is everlasting. You have a reason to thank God. There is a reason for you to thank God. With tears coming down your eyes, say thank you. You might be shaking in your body, but say thank you. Thank you, Jesus. When I think of the goodness of Jesus, when I think of the goodness of Jesus, when I think of the goodness of Jesus, just gotta say thank you. When I think of how he loved us, how he loved us, I gotta say thank you. When I think of how he forgave us, we gotta say thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. I just want to thank you. Can we say thank you, Lord? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
If you haven't gotten it by now, brothers and sisters, the moral of the story is that God expects us to be able to give him thanks in all the circumstances and in all the seasons and all the victories and all the adversities and everything that we go through. God expects us to have thanksgiving in our hearts. Why? Because the Lord is good. Because his mercy endures forever, and because God is faithful. You see, the world has been pulling the wool over our eyes. Thanksgiving has nothing to do with us. Thanksgiving is about God. Thanksgiving is about giving God what we owe him. We can be thankful not for our circumstances, but because the Lord is good. Amen? I feel like there are some of us in here today who are struggling with being thankful right now, and that's okay. Pain is real. Hurt is real. Betrayal is real. We're going through some things in our life that are real. But I want to tell you something. You have the power to overcome them and to have a spirit of thanksgiving anyway. So if you're here today and you feel like you're struggling with finding a reason to be thankful, you feel like you're struggling with finding a spirit of thanksgiving in this season of life, we invite you to the altar for prayer. We invite you to the altar for prayer at this time, because I want you to know that thanksgiving is possible. You can have a spirit of thanksgiving even in adversity. We invite you to the altar. The altar is open.
And now, let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done for us. Give thanks. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. And now, let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done for us. And now, give thanks, church. When you walk out these doors today, give thanks. When you wake up in the morning, give thanks. When you go to work, give thanks. When you go to school, give thanks. Even when you go to the doctor's office, give thanks. Give thanks.
Thanks for listening today. Remember, God wants to do the impossible through you and me. We encourage you to become a deeper part of what we are doing. Visit us at newsongcs.com and become a giver to the New Song Foundation and an investor in bringing this message of Jesus across the world. God bless you.